I wanted to take a minute this afternoon in Time of Texas to share with you a little bit of what we are seeing right now. I know you have probably been following the news and you have received a load of information via social media and via other channels. But I, as an organization, Wall for the Nations has a heart to get you closer to what God is doing in the nations, to get you closer to the mission field. For those new in this group, you are welcome. If you are here, it's because you're an intercessor, it's because you're someone who understands the times, and you are someone who understand the importance to stay in prayer on behalf of this difficult season. So I'm gonna go ahead and bring you up to speed. My name is Tete Fernandez, and I'm making sure that everybody knows that we're here. I have the honor to lead Wild for the Nations. Wild for the Nations is a nonprofit who has as a heart to bridge the gap between the church and the mission field. Our heart, it's very close to Israel. Our organization was birthed out in Israel. Of course, we have been working closely with several organizations, ministries, and churches in the land. And it's an honor every time that we have to get close people to what God is doing in the land of the Messiah. Since 3 days ago, almost 4 days now, we have keeping you posted in everything that is happening there with one heart. And the heart is that you understand the honor that we have as a church to take a high level position in prayer and in understanding, that you understand the high privilege that the church has to stand in the gap. And one of the things that we're facing a lot as we're producing content and as we're putting outside videos and we're putting outside information that we receive from our partners in the land, and as we're updating everybody and our reach about what is happening in Israel, we're constantly having this pushback, most of the time very well intended, of people worry, why are you praying exclusively for Israel? Why are you not caring for Palestine? Why are you not caring for other lives? And one of the things that we have to repeat one time and another is we're praying for every innocent life, every civilian life that is in the middle of this conflict and there is unwillingly in a crossfire. We do not believe that one life is way more than other. However, we do pray for the land of Israel, because the land of Israel, it was the one that has been assaulted. And one of our hard positions and one of the joys that we have had as an organization is build relationship with one of the most precious families that I have ever met in my life. And I am Mexican. I know about hospitality. I know about relationships and loving people, but the people that you're going about to meet, Nisar and Katie, they are located in Israel. They are leaders in the land of Nazareth, the land of our Messiah. They are serving there for a long time now. They're people that we trust and we love. They're Arabs, they're Christians, and I have invited them because I want you to hear all the sides of this conflict. And I want you more than have a political opinion, that you have a godly understanding of what is happening and a godly position, so you can position yourself, and I'm saying position a lot, but I think it's a key word, to know how to pray and how Paul instructs us when we are not fighting flesh and blood, that we're fighting against a spiritual darkness, that you can know how to position yourself to do what God calls us to do, which is to pray for the peace of Jerusalem and to pray for our brothers or sisters who are suffering in the middle of that. So I don't want to speak anymore. I want you to meet Katie and Nisar. How are you guys? Very sweet to see you. I lament the conditions, but I am very joyful to see you guys this afternoon.
Hi, everyone. We're glad to be with you through this Zoom. And we're glad that we can share our hearts with you and what's going on in the land at this time. Thank you, Tete, for hosting us.
Yeah. It's a joy to make a space for hearing your voice. Nisar, Katie, could you share briefly where are you located? What are you doing there? And how long have you been serving in that area?
Well, at first, I was born here in Nazareth. Katie was born in Jerusalem. We met on 1987, And we became good friends, and then God brought us together. After I finished my theology courses and studies, I moved to Jerusalem in 1990. I lived there for 10 years, and now we are in Nazareth, back to my hometown, for 23 years. And we are pastoring the Church of the Nazarene in the heart of the city of Nazareth, which is a 100% Arabic-speaking peoples, Muslims and Christians.
So let me pick up a few things. You are planted in Nazareth. How many years have you been serving in Nazareth?
In Nazareth for 23 years.
Wow. And Nisar and Katie are probably one of the most bravest, unapologetic people about their faith. They love the Messiah. They love Jesus. They're leading people to Jesus, not only in Nazareth, but in all the north of Israel. I was recently there a few months ago, and I had the joy to see them spread the word beyond the borders of Nazareth to different towns and villages around the Galilee area in the north of Israel. So for 23 years, you have been planted there serving in Nazareth. You have a Arabic speaking church, meaning your congregation is fully Arabic, correct?
Correct, yeah. Yes.
So for us on this side, it's very easy to get involved in this narrative. And because most of people have never been in Israel, they don't have the joy to see the complexity of the land, the fact that Arabs and Jews do life together, the fact that you constantly are rubbing shoulders with Jewish people and going to Jerusalem, going back to Nazareth. We have been dragged in this narrative that every Arab people is hated by Israel and every Arab people hate Israel. What does life look like for you, Nisar, and Katie, on a normal basis? When we're not in times of war, are you afraid to bump into a Jewish person? Are you in danger? Your household is in danger? What is the normal life of Arab people who live in Nazareth?
Let's begin with the point of where, because of our location and because of our calling, location is Nazareth is 100% Arabic speaking, but we are attached to Jewish cities, and we get all the time across a lot of Jewish people. You know, we go to shops, sometimes it's Hasidic Jews shops, sometimes it's just secular Jews who sells, you know, all kinds of merchandise and stuff. And we always rub shoulders with Jews, never had a problem. In tough times, it's always tense, because as you have mentioned earlier, you know, Arabs hates Jews, Jews hates Arabs, but we are not into that kind of feeling. You know, we don't hate. We didn't learn how to hate. We love. We try to bring peace, and we try to avoid, you know, the Jewish areas in days like this. We avoid rubbing shoulders, because they don't understand, you know, who you are. They know you are an Arab. Now, this is their point. And I totally understand. That's why I try to stay away with my family, my kids. I said, don't try to rub shoulders with people. Now they are, you know, grieving. They are upset. They are angry. What happened is not easy. And nobody can accept what happened. I mean, any normal person would not accept what happened. So we are even, you know, mourning with all those people who are mourning, who've lost loved ones and friends and children and, you know, fathers, mothers. I mean, it's just crazy how deep the pain is this time. It's, I mean, really painful. But because of our different calling, we have learned, you know, how to survive and how to come across difficult times like this. We've been there in 2006. We've been there in 2014. 3 years ago, like just a little before Corona virus, you know, started. We went through clashes with Gaza again, but that didn't affect us here. But we still, you know, our hearts were with the people at that time. You know, you cry for Gaza and the innocent people who are killed and died because of the attacks. And you also mourn the losses on the Jewish side, because, you know, also on that side, you know, a lot of innocent people are killed. And so on both sides, you have this conflict doesn't really make difference. You know, it doesn't distinguish between the two peoples. It's just people are evil. Killed on both sides.
It's just evil to every human being.
It's absolutely. It's just unacceptable.
It's evil. Yeah. What it looks like life right now in Nazareth, Nazareth being a 100% Arab town, very close to the Galilee area where we have a lot of Hasidic communities there. How it looks like, you guys are probably, what, 3 hours away from Gaza? 2 hours and a half away from Gaza?
Yeah, approximately. Yes, yes. Yeah.
So how does it look to do life right now? Is, are you able to go out? Are you guys maintaining yourself at home? Do you guys feel safe? You guys are very close from the border with the north. And in the last 24, 48 hours, a lot of activity with Lebanon and a lot of interchange of fire have been happening there. So How does it look like right now, life in Nazareth?
It's very tense now. So people are ready for war. A war from Lebanon now, this side in the north. So everybody's preparing foods and shelters. They already ask us to be ready at least for 3 days to buy foods and water and just keep at home, you know, stay at home, not be far away from the houses. So I don't know, any time, you know, any minutes, something will just go on, you know.
Reach you guys.
But we trust the Lord, you know, for his protection. Yeah. And just, we are praying, you know, we are praying for all, you know, for the country. We are praying for the peace. We are praying that this war will not start, you know, that God will just do something miraculous, you know, now.
To diffuse the tension that is there. We can go to Jewish cities. We can still leave Nazareth. We can, I mean, move around freely. There is no threat. Let's make that point clear. But we don't take the risk. That's the, because, as I said, you know, when people are angry, they don't understand. They might attack you for no reason.
Even when you are not Palestinian, or even when you are not supporting what is happening on the Palestinian side of Gaza, even when you don't hate Jewish people, even when you will never harm Jewish people, or you have friends who are Jewish, other Jewish people who don't know you just because you look Arab and you speak Arabic, you might be a subject that they can release the anger and unleash the anger, and you do look like a threat to them because people who are attacking them look like you. And that's so hard, Nisar, and so hard, Katie. I cannot even imagine, for one end, the horrendous pain that these atrocities are causing amongst Jewish people and among civilians and amongst innocent mothers and fathers who have lost a little baby. And I cannot even imagine what would be for you guys as Christians, Arab people who are being confused and put in one bag when you are for sure not belong to that bag. And I thought it would be so helpful for Christians around the world to know that within the borders of Israel, in Nazareth, and in even within Gaza, they are a whole community of Arab Christians who are experiencing a version of what you are experiencing, which is, we don't want to participate in this conflict. We are not supporting this barbarity and these atrocities that are happening, but because we're Arabs, we're in the middle of this crossfire.
You know, the spirit of revenge is in the air. And you just sense it wherever you go. You look at people's eyes and you know that they want to take revenge somehow. So you want to stay away from that atmosphere. You want to avoid clashes with people. You know, you don't want even defend yourself saying, oh, I'm Christian. I didn't mean, I'm not part of what's happening. None of that stuff. You just, it's better to stay within the smaller circles for this time.
Just pray, you know.
Yeah, just pray, intercede. We're calling on pastors. Today I was on a small Zoom with some Messianic, Jewish pastors and Arab pastors that came together to pray around 1:30 or 2 o'clock in the afternoon today.
Mm-hmm.
And we are praying also tomorrow on another meeting, and hopefully also the day after. So these three days
fasting
and praying, seeking God.
Thank you for sharing that. We'll definitely be joining that fasting and that prayer there. Yeah. I also wanted to make a note, and I don't know if you personally know someone who is in this group, but I wanted to make sure that we as a church understand that not only are Christians Arab who don't support these atrocities and who are in the middle of this crossfire, but we have Arabs fighting in the army of Israel.
Yeah.
Arab, could you speak a little bit about this? Who are these Arab people and why are fighting on behalf of Israel? Why are not there doing the same thing that they're doing, the people from Gaza? Who are these Arab people?
Well, let me give it to you like historically. After 1967, the borders were put between the West Bank and Jordan and Israel. And so it was set. And a lot of the Arab people who live within Israel have become citizens. And so, of course, they carry as Israeli IDs, Israeli passports. They are not given all the rights as the Jewish people, but they are still, they get most of the rights, I would say that way. And but they are not entitled to, it's not an obligation to go to the army. It's by choice. They can choose to go to the army. And a lot of the people see in this act as a personal interest. It's not out of love to Israel or probably being patriot, but it's mostly feeling belonging. You see, these people feel that they belong here and there is no way out of here. They are citizens. They want to defend this country. So there are Muslims, there are Druze,
Christians.
A lot of Christians who have joined the army. And of course, Bedouins, but also the issue is that it's very difficult for them because they have to raise the rifle against Arabs in the fight, because they are originally Arabs anyway. So they want to raise the rifle, and sometimes they have to shoot, and sometimes they have to kill Arabs who come to attack who come to create problems. And again, going to the army is not obligatory. You know, they don't have to really go. They can choose. So it's by choice. Every Jewish young man have to go to the army for 3 years. Each young Jewish lady have to go for 2 years. For us, it's 3 years, but it's a choice. You can do three and then you can stop, get out, or you can continue, just be part of the Israeli army and defend the country.
So that speaks about, one, the desire of belonging of these young Arab Druze, Muslim, and Christians Arabs who willingly, without being required, join forces with their Israeli army. Mm-hmm. And that also speaks of the value that they place on defending the nation, on defending a way of life that probably they wouldn't have on other nations in the Middle East. And I'm thinking right now about the rights and the benefits and the position that women hold and enjoy in Israel that not necessarily in other Arab countries around will have those rights and those benefits or that high esteem and that high position. Nizar, Katie, our hearts are grieving for what is happening on the land. We're praying for you. We're praying for every one of your members, every one of the Israeli. Is there anything else that you would like the church to know from your quarter of Israel, from your heart position? I know you love people. I know you're a pastor at heart. I know you pastor beautiful people in Nazareth and in the whole region of Galilee. Is there anything that we could pray for and you would like us to know as we pray in the middle of this conflict?
We are totally, me and Kate, of course, the church, we are totally against violence on any level.
Yeah.
and not even on a patriotic level. And I wanted to mention something about all these soldiers from the Arabic background. You know, a lot of them are looked at as traitors from the Arab, like from Palestinians in the West Bank, all the soldiers who joined the Israel army, they are traitors. And not only, like within our society looks at these young people who go to the army from Muslim, Druze, or Christian, or Bedouin. They are all traitors because they serve Israel as a state. And Israel, you know, is an enemy in a sense. You know, that's what people here understand. So they don't fully agree with our young people going to the army. As I have said, you know, our young people have a choice when I make. And most of them do it out of love to this land and out of belonging to this land. So what we would ask you to pray about is for us just to continue to be witnesses and to be strong and to reach out to the Jew, to the Muslim, and to the Arab. All of those who are not believers, we want to be a light to the world as the Lord has called us. We want to be salt to this land. We know we are a minority, and there's a lot of attack on the Christian church, especially at this time. And I've seen some reports about, you know, a lot of Jewish Orthodox Jews who come across Christians who are in pilgrimage or in carrying the cross, you know, through the Via Dolorosa, where they are spitting at them and saying bad words to them, and sometimes even pushing them. And so that causes more, you know, tension in the air. And I think the Israeli government was going to issue a law against that. Whoever attacks a symbol of one of the religions of the land will be entitled to years in prison. Wow. So I'm glad that will be done, because even when we evangelize our friends, we do it with love, with respect. We never attack the Jewish religion. We never attack the Muslim religion. We just show Jesus in love. And we do it in action of love. Now, at this time, we serve our people. We want to help our Jewish friends who have lost, you know, family friends. And we offered our help. I hope we will get some response, you know, for people to come and stay with us from the south. We've just offered our house and our preschool building for our Jewish friends to come and stay with us up, you know, until the time that anger passes by and this war is over with.
Yeah. Thank you for sharing all that. Thank you for sharing the vulnerability of this Arab young people who are fighting for the land of Israel in this battle as we're speaking, and how they are hated double because they are fighting for Israel, and they're Arab people, so their enemies are seeing them right now as traitors of a cause that they never even pledge alliance on it. But that's how hatred works. That's how evil works. That's what the enemy wants distracted. And I wanted to just one, see your face, because always seeing you is a joy, but give an opportunity to other beautiful people that are seeing us and praying in the middle of this conflict to have the opportunity to meet you, to hear your heart, to hear that they are Christian Arabs right now in the middle of this, suffering from the consequence of an ethnicity that they did not participate, but just because they belong to the same ethnicity, they're seen with suspicious, and also that they're in the middle of a spiritual warfare, they are experiencing exactly the same that any other citizen from Israel or any other country in Israel are experiencing the tension, the horror, the pain, the agony of seeing what is happening. And with this, offer us an opportunity to push back and to let people know, and Christians who in this moment are fighting an inner fight of, I don't know what side I'm supposed to be on, just release you from that. We are not called to take sides. We're called to minister the kingdom of light and participate to the expansion of the kingdom of light. We are against evil. And what we are seeing right now is barbarity and evil, the spirit that have been in that region for millennia. We're seeing it activated. We read it on the Bible. We have seen it on history. Nisar, you were in Nazareth when the war of Lebanon happening, right? What is your experience compared to realities right now? Do you feel it's the same? You were saying earlier before we get online, this is the worst that you've seen on your timeline, on your lifetime.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
Well, it's the feelings and the tension is exactly the same. In 2006, two missiles hit Nazareth directly. One of them was about 300 yards from our church, our house. And we could see it through our window when it exploded. I mean, we could see it, the fire and the smoke. And our feelings now, if this would break out, you know, in the north of the country, we might, you know, I think it's going to be devastating if it breaks out. We are just praying today and these 3 days that God will diffuse, you know, the all the schemes of the enemy.
Amen.
And that the trigger will not be pushed, you know, the trigger will not be pulled to kill and to destroy.
Yeah, this is Satan.
Yeah.
How do you feel, Katie? You have daughters, you have granddaughters, grandkids. As a mom, as a grandma, how do you feel right now as you're following the news and experiencing all the tension on the streets of Nazareth?
Mm-hmm. Actually, you know, as a mom, you know, and as a pastor wife, I'm just, you know, thinking of my children and my grandchildren. And, you know, I am an intercessor, you know, I'm just praying and, you know, trusting the Lord for his protection to the house, to my family, their church, and the country, peace. You know, we are seeking for peace. You know, we know that Satan come to destroy and kill, but we are looking for life. You know, that's what we are declaring, life. And for the country, for Israel, we are with, you know, peace. We are with the love. We are with Jesus, you know. So we are against any evil, you know, anything that destroy the country or any evil comes against, you know, the people of the country, because we are citizens and we belong here. So I don't know what to say, we don't know what to do, but you know, our eyes is towards Jesus.
Amen. Do you guys have a shelter in your, so for those who have never had the joy to go to Nazareth, Nisar and Katie pastor a church in the downtown of Nazareth, very close to the hotspot of Nazareth, and they live in a house attached to the church. The church has a building that is the auditorium of the church, a building for a small building for activities, and then the household. Do you guys have a shelter where you guys can hide in the case of missile attack in that area?
We do.
We do have in the preschool building. You know, we do have a shelter.
Because people, you know, in Nazareth usually have shelters, like
not all of them. No, not all. But we don't go to the shelter. Last time in 2006, we didn't use it. We stay home. Instead, we just depend on God's protection. You know, we plead the blood of Jesus on our house and our children. I said, God, we trust you. And that's what happened when the missile came down. I remember we were fasting that day and we had a prayer meeting that day. God protected the church, you know, and protected us, all of us.
I remember that I had a preaching appointment on one of those days when missiles were hitting. Like every other hour, we had the sirens go off. And when I was leaving, my preaching appointment was in Tiberias, and it was to a messianic congregation.
Wow.
I had to go and preach in Hebrew for my Jewish friends to encourage them. And so one of my friends wouldn't let me leave. He sat in front of my car on the floor. Wow. He said, "You're not going anywhere." I said, "Listen, I'm going to serve God and I'm going to be preaching. Don't worry about me. I will take my car. I'm going to go there." And I did. I went. It was Ghost City. I parked my car in a huge parking lot, you know, but was no cars there.
Wow.
I was the only car moving on that road from here to Tiberias. I didn't see another car. It was so kind of scary,
yeah.
But I still went. I preached. We had a beautiful time of worship and prayer. Anointed people with oil, encouraged them, came home. Everything was safe. Thank God. You know, that's how we move.
And that's why the church, we need to understand, that's the power of the blood of Jesus.
Amen.
That pulls down every wall, that disarms enemy attacks in hate, that bring Jewish and Arabs together, that only the blood of Jesus can do. This is the picture of heaven. Every nation, every tongue together looking at the Messiah. So anything that opposes this picture is demonic. We can call it whatever we want. We can use a lot of rhetoric, a lot of, you know, fancy words, but bottom down, the desire of God is this one. Arabs and Jews, Gentiles and no Gentiles, looking upon the Messiah and telling him, "You are worthy. You are the Lamb, and we honor you, and we lock arms whomever you put around us, because we take you as the supreme goal." So I thank you deeply, Nizar and Katie, for serving the Lord in Nazareth. Every time that I visit the land, part of my joy is to know that I'm going to see both of you guys and hug you and spend time with you. I'm longing.
Sorry we missed you last time.
Oh, God. I'm longing the time that we do it again. I'm so grateful for your voice, for your courage.
You.
I want to say to you who are watching this, either online, in the group of intercessors, or in YouTube, the fact that they are willing to speak out, put them in a very vulnerable position. I asked them beforehand if I was allowed to share this publicly, and they say, absolutely. These couple are very brave, not only because they're right now in an interview on the internet, but because they live out a courageous, unapologetic faith for Jesus in a majority of a reality with Islam is what is pushing forward and pushing hard. So thank you so much, Nizar. Thank you so much, Katie. I would love to
have some time
here, Nizar. And if you will lead us to pray in the middle of this situation, we would love to be led by you in prayer. And once we wrap up on that, we want to take time to bless you and to speak protection and life over you, your people, your family, your church.
Amen. 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 Thank you, Tete. Yes. Yes, Heavenly Father, we come to your throne and we bow down at your feet. We worship you, Jesus. We lift up your holy name. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for giving us your heart and your image in humility, in love. Thank you for giving your life for us. Thank you for dying on that cross that day to pay for our sins and to give us redemption. Oh, thank you, Lord Jesus, for choosing us to be your disciples. Thank you for calling us to carry the cross and follow you. Thank you for sending us to your field. For the fields are white, Lord, and it's ready. And we are crying out to you to send laborers, Lord God, to do more, for this world needs more laborers, Lord God, to preach the word of God. And we thank you that you have installed us in Nazareth. Thank you for calling us to preach your word in Nazareth, for the people of Nazareth, for the Arabs and the Jews, for the Muslims and the traditional and nominal Christians. Thank you for helping us to keep standing and to keep witnessing, to reach out, Lord God, to our community. Lord, you have given us this favor in this city. And thank you for letting us be fruitful, Lord God, and to have an impact on this culture. Thank you, Lord God, for giving us the place to serve. And thank you for calling us to be the children of your kingdom. I pray, Lord God, that you will give my friends who are watching this Zoom, who are praying for Israel, to know that there are Arab Christians who live in this land, and they have probably fallen in the crossfire of both sides. But Lord, still standing and believing that you have a future for this land, a future for both nations, Arabs and Christians. And help us, Lord, to be your light and to be the salt of the land at this time, especially at this time, Lord Jesus, during this war that have erupted suddenly in our side of the world. I pray, Lord God, that all of my friends who are praying for Israel, for the Jewish people, to take a time today and pray for the Arab people who are living within the borders of Israel. And Lord, we ask for peace. We ask for that peace to fill our hearts, the peace that surpasses all understanding, that peace that only the Prince of Peace can give. I pray that we can have it. And Lord Jesus, all of my friends who are praying through this Zoom for our churches, for our pastors, for our peoples on both sides, that they'll get wisdom and they'll get enlightenment in their hearts to know how to pray and to how to set the time aside to intercede and to intervene for this land and for the peoples of this land. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for Tete and for taking the time to plan for this. Help us, Lord, to be intercessors and to continue to stand in the gap for all of our peoples. For we ask and pray now in Jesus' mighty name, now and forevermore. Amen.
Lord, we are honored to stand on the gap once more and to say, please intercede in this situation. May your hand prevail upon the enemy, Lord. We say Psalm 68, which says, arise, God, and make those who hate you be spared, Lord. And we pray for the peace and we pray for de-escalation of the military operations. Lord, we ask you that you protect Jewish people in every corner of Israel who are in risk, civilians, mothers, young children, elderly, Lord, Holocaust survivors. We pray you protection. And we also pray for the protection of our Arab brothers and sisters, Lord, believers who are within the borders of Israel, Lord, in Israel towns, but also in Palestinian areas, Lord. We pray for Christians in Jericho. We pray for Christians, Lord, in Bethlehem. We pray for Christians within Nazareth, Lord. We pray for Christians in Gaza who are in the middle, who are being in the middle of this crossfire, who are unwillingly being abducted, Lord, in this situation, locked down in this situation. We pray that you protect them. We pray that you use them powerfully, Lord. We pray that they become the beacon of light that you design them to be in this time of darkness, Lord. And we also pray for Palestinians, Lord, who are innocent lives, who are Muslims, who are Jews, who are Bedouins, Lord, who lives are being lost, who are not participating in this conflict, who were part of the crossfire. Lord, evil do not respect Palestinian or Jewish or Arab or anything, Lord. Or Nepali or Thailandese, Lord, evil goes after life. And we pray, Lord, for those people. We pray for them that are in risk. We pray for those who have lost a loved one between the Bedouin communities, Lord, between the Palestinian communities, all civilians, Lord, all innocent life who are in the middle of those crossfire. We pray for the precious life, Lord, of them. We pray for the precious life of Jewish people that right now have spent more than 4 days, Lord, in a bunker, Lord, without being able to go and see the sunlight because they're in the border with Gaza. We pray for our Jewish brothers and sisters in the north. We pray for Nisar and his church, Lord, in the north, that they're so close to Lebanon. We pray a de-escalation, Lord, in the fire. And we pray that your name might be glorified. And in the middle of this darkness, Lord, we can see the Jewish Messiah shine through the land of Israel like never before. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Nizar. Thank you so much, Katie. We will hold you, your life, your families, your church, your children, your grandchildren in our heart and in our prayers. I'm going to stay just a couple of seconds more with our people just to say goodbye. I'll be in contact with you in a few minutes. God bless you, Nizar. God bless you.
God bless you.
Bye.
Bye-bye. I wanted to, just before leaving, drop a couple of information important for you to keep. As I am speaking, the Prime Minister of Israel is addressing the nation and the world. As until a few minutes ago, before entering this transmission, he was giving his speech in Hebrew. So I jump into here just to keep you posted, but we'll look into what he have shared. As we're talking right now, information that we have, the response of Israel to Gaza has been 5 times more than the response of Israel to Lebanon. 80 buildings have collapsed in Gaza, all of them containing central operations, intelligence operations, or financial operations by these terrorist groups. Israel is alerting civilians before the attack, so they have a few minutes to flee the area, but all the equipment, all the machinery, all the computers, everything that is within this buildings. The goal is to disarm the enemy. Israel have announced that they gained control in the border. They haven't been able until now. Now they have announced that they gained control in the border. This is the south border, but as Nizar and Katie were sharing with us, the threat of an imminent attack from the north now. For those who are struggling with, were struggling with geography, Gaza is in the southern border of Israel. Lebanon and Syria are in the on the north border with Israel. And the threat that Hezbollah, which is a terrorist organization operating in Lebanon, is attacking now Israel is high. The government of Israel alerted the whole citizenship that in 3 days they shouldn't leave their shelter, that they should prepare with food, with water, and with all the necessities. So I want to drop all this information in your heart, not for other reason, but just to steer your praying heart and your prayer spirit. I want you to be aware of the times and how important is the fact that you and I can pray. Our prayers do not need a passport. We can actively participate in extending God's kingdom and rebuking the work of the enemy. As Nizar and Katie were mentioning, what we are seeing is evil. A minute before entering on life, Nizar was sharing, in my lifetime, I have never seen this kind of evil. So even among Arab Christians, they're in shock of what is happening right now. Yesterday in a prayer meeting that I was able to join, one of the pastors was sharing, what we are seeing is the spirit of Moloch, a spirit, sadistic, idol demon that is seeking life and is seeking pain and is seeking devastation. So I want to steer your praying heart. I want to encourage you that if the Lord leads you and your health allows it, join us in fasting and praying. Israel leaders, pastors, Messianic pastors, Arab pastors, Gentile pastors in Israel are right now in 3 days of praying and fasting. If the Lord leads you, please join. I think it's an absolutely honor that we have to participate in the amazing things that the Lord is doing in Israel in this horrible times. We're hearing miracles left and right in the front lines from the soldiers. We're hearing miracles. We're hearing miracles of civilian lives that we thought they were lost, being found safe and sound. So we're seeing the hand of the Lord supernaturally protecting his people, protecting the land, protecting Arabs, protecting Jews. So keep praying. Thank you so much for following us. We love you. We trust in the Lord. We trust that he's in control. We're standing for the peace. We're standing for the life. We're standing for Israel. God bless you.